Welcome aboard. We've got a very special guest on the program this morning, and his name is, in fact, Jeff Guest. Very good morning to you, Jeff.
Thank you, and listeners as well.
Yeah, Jeff, just before we get up to present day, can we just go back a little bit in time and talk about your journey, where you're from, your country, where you're from, and get up to present day?
Well, originally I was born in Cherbourg, and I got taken away as a youngster because I was too fair. I ran away from adopted family and got working around pastoral companies.
Yeah.
That was 1939. I started work on Brooklyn Station out from Mareeba. I keep coming back to this area for some reason.
Yeah.
But in the late 70s, a bit before then at Mareeba, I was breaking horses, and kids used to turn up there weekends to watch the break in.
Mm-hmm.
We bought a property and the cattle prices crashed, and we ended up having to give it up. But we ended up in a little small place at Petford, about 80 square mile there, to do a bit of mine horse, and kids started turning up. Before we knew it, we had 25 young people from all over. Some had been in trouble with the police, and some were not happy with their life, so it just grew from there.
Yeah. So it just kind of happened. You had
it
no...
It just kind of happened. I never planned to stop here. This is a pretty poor country. And my intention was just make enough money out of mining and get my horse together to get a better property. But kids kept turning up, and that became my focus. And I kept learning. I didn't know much to start with, but I kept starting and looking at their problems.
Let's talk about that, because you're in the news just of recent times, having the figure they say is something like possibly around the 3,000 mark.
Possibly a bit more, yeah.
Yeah, that have actually been through your program, and this is boys that could have been to jail.
That's right, and one of the things we changed the diet around, because most community people eat a pretty poor diet, and that greatly affects their health, diabetes, as well as mental health problems. One of the first things I did is I cut out sugar. Now, because I couldn't control it, we had 25, 30 young people from 13 to 18 sitting down and trying to tell them to have 2 teaspoons of sugar each was hopeless. So I just cut the sugar out. The next thing I greatly reduced was wheat products. Now, it wasn't because I knew about wheat then, it was just they wouldn't eat their vegetables. They had a big feed of bread, or damp, or scone, and wouldn't eat vegetables. So I greatly reduced that. And behaviour improved. And I thought, well, that's good. Years later, we couldn't get young fellows jobs because they experienced horsemen, but not cattlemen. The cattle industry changed. They only wanted people temporary for a week, fortnight, for the helicopter muster. So he bought a station up north and got them teaching cattle work. One day, a pack horse took off with 2 drums of flour. Well, flour went everywhere. The boys cooed and laughed. It was a great joke. But we had no flour for a month. There was 5 particular fellows had serious mental problems, used to hear voices. The voices stopped. And well, at that time, I didn't know the reason. That was good. But when the flour came back, the voices came. And so I started doing a lot of research. And believe you me, refined wheat isn't the best for us. But people need to research that themselves. But we've been working on diet, vitamin minerals, and looking at the whole history. Years back, a bloke named Neville Yeoman came along and got me to collect history. And one of the interesting things we found, that young mothers that couldn't look after their kids or perhaps abandoned, those kids grew up with personality disorders because they didn't bond. Mm. And this is one of our problems today. I believe there's 42,000 youngsters in care. I believe 17,000 of those are little kids. Well, often they have good foster parents because that early problems, they never did well. So we've got to take big efforts to look after these young mums and support them, and their family, get them to learn a bit more about food.
Wow.
Sorry, it's been so long-winded.
Yeah, no, look, fascinating. Look, you're 90 to yourself. You've still got a full tank of gas by the sound of it.
Hopefully. I've had a couple of accidents lately. I haven't been on a horse for 3 months. I've cracked my hip and a few months back, but I'm still going. We use horses to pay our way because we're not getting any funding, but we're endeavouring to help families. We have families out here on school holidays, 3 or 4 families. The parents have been, the fathers have been here as kids, and they bring the kids to learn about horses, and I endeavour to help the mothers educate them a bit more about refined food and better eating habits.
The property you bought in the north, in the territory, was it, you said?
Yes, we bought Strathburn up north.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, cattle prices crashed and we're under some financial difficulties with that, and I couldn't keep going. But I believe now we need a remote place, and there we can help youngsters again. Now, most youngsters want to come to these places, and we don't make a punishment. It's a learning environment, and greatly rechange their diet around and find out their mental health problems. I believe a lot of youngsters have got mental health problems because of mum's stress while she's carrying, her diet, or vitamin deficiency. It's somewhat inherited, but the good news is we've got more genes, good genes, what we have, the bad ones, and with the right help, it can be overcome.
When your hip is back in order, you're back on a horse yourself, Jeb?
I haven't been on a horse for 3 months.
Yeah, but when
I'm still back in, I have me on the ground.
Yeah, yeah.
But I've got this crook hip, and I'm just a bit worried if I get hurt again, it's going to slow me down a bit more.
Yeah, so you stay on the ground, get somebody else up on the horse.
Well,
all
the young
horse,
people
yeah.
come here, the kids are coming back now. They're their kids, you know, we have three generations here coming back. But there's a big need to teach food preparation, encourage it. I've been around most communities in Australia helping fellows get jobs and networks and that, and I can tell you what they're eating we can't grow our youngsters on to reach their potential. So we've got to make an effort to help poorer families. It's just in Aboriginal families all around the world I've studied where there's people on low income, they're tied to eat poorly, so they have more difficulties with life.
Well, at the moment, we've just had to close the gap business, and I don't seem to hear any of this kind of thing happening at the government level. Why is the government so afraid to take on the kinds of things that you're doing?
Well, because if they say they need qualified people, they need doctors and psychiatrists, which are fantastic people, but I never had any schooling. If I can learn it like we do, is neurofeedback, a brain scan hooked computer. That's a great help to youngsters. I've found out about diet through studying and ring others. We've got great help from like Dr. Ernest Hunter and many other doctors we get advice from and people around the world. It's not really rocket science what needs to be done. As well as helping people who are in trouble, we've got to aggressively help these young mums-to-be or before it happens. There's a Professor Jones, I forget which university attached to, he says the comments, unless we aggressively help these young mothers and try to reduce unwanted pregnancies, as you're probably already aware, there's 42,000 kids in care. I mentioned that before, sorry. But on the good news is we've got 30,000 people at university grads, Aboriginals, which is fantastic news. And also we've got 65% of Aboriginal people employed. About 350,000. So we hear a lot of negative things from people or negative reports. We need to be encouraging our young people to look at the good side. People can get ahead, and we can't keep using excuses of the terrible things that happened in the past. We've got to go ahead and take advantage of it.
Well, very shortly, we're going to hear an interview I recorded yesterday from Bob Carter Jr., and he's very supportive of the type of work that you're doing. It just seems to me like a pretty simple equation to get a couple of decent cattle properties to expand the program. I mean, the cost of keeping a kid in jail is astronomical compared to what it would cost to feed them on a situation like what you're talking about.
And that's right. And also, I believe in three generations, we'd halve diabetes and the people in jail by aggressively helping the families and these kids so there's follow up. And that's going to save the government money. I was talking to somebody the other day. We'd helped a family we had here years back. They had six kids. They're going to take the kids off them. I started my program of getting the rent paid and eating better. And a politician told me we can't go throwing money. I'm not suggesting that. I'm suggesting we help them help themselves, and we might help a bit with buying things they mightn't buy and doing gardening and that. And it would have cost $70,000 for those kids to be taken off, and would have cost the government $70,000 per youngster per year, possibly for life. So we're going to save the government money very quickly.
Well, the Aboriginal Affairs Minister is heading this way to North Queensland. I'm not sure if she's going to get time to go to Petford, but
I'd go down and meet them, because I realise they've got important time schedules. Even though I'm just a bush person, I've had success at what I'm doing. And I've done a lot of research from all around the world. I've been learning. I've made mistakes to start and still make mistakes, but we've got to keep researching what works and what doesn't.
Right, well, look, I'll be talking to our media people in between now and the visit. Hopefully she's going to be live in the studios here at Black Star Radio at some point in time. So I'll keep you in the loop. You know, it's a phone call after phone call before you can actually get something, nailed down. And then when it's nailed down, it's not always nailed down either. So it's just one of those things when you're dealing with politicians these days. It's a little bit more difficult to get something hard and fast, but if we can get half a chance, we'll certainly let you know, because I've followed your work all over many years, right down to I can remember vividly when you had a display at the RSL here in Cairns trying to raise money to keep the program going, and I saw one of the handmade saddles that was the boys were making at the time, and I was totally blown away, because it was as good as something from Sid Hill or any of the other saddle makers around the country. And just to think that people that are at risk of going to jail can make things of such high quality, it just seems to me pretty simple. That's the direction we should be going. But
we should be, and it's good for families. And unless we do something, I fear for the future. And this just isn't Australia Aboriginal people. It's right across the poorer people. When I study what's happened in the poorer parts of England, America, and I visit these places in Germany, I was quite shocked to visit Germany to find well-educated people had the same problem. But I believe it goes back to diet and beliefs. But look, it'd be good if politicians can work together instead of fighting one another. And I think Australia, for things to happen, that they've got to agree to work on fixing the problem up.
Jeff, have you been able to define exactly what it is? You get a boy that's he's on his way to Lotus, and he's deeply troubled, and he's all over the place. His energy scattered like a Kelpie dog, jumping here and jumping there. Is it just being back on country that is the start of the healing process?
That's a great big help back on country.
Yeah.
But also, if there's a mental health problem caused by diet or inherited,
yeah,
like we have a lot of people short on B6 and zinc, and that's they've inherited that, and that's easy fixed up with zinc and B6. There's a lot of people because of copper water pipes that they've got an extra load of copper. So lots of little things that the layperson can spot and then pass on to a professional. I've got nothing against professional, but professionals don't look at these little things.
Do you actually get a blood test done? How do you know what they're lacking in?
Okay, well, first of all, B6, the ones inherited, often they're taller. Sometimes the next big one is longer. They've got white spots on their fingernail. They can't take stress. They're often the fairest in the family. And then sometimes you get B6 resistant for environmental poisoning, chemicals in the household or environment. There's questionnaires and tests we can put them through. The doctor can do a urine test for B6. Also, there's blood tests, but mostly the questionnaires will get us through, and we can start giving the right vitamin minerals. And everyone's different. You just can't give a standard dose. I've done a lot of study on this, and you've got to watch it all the time. But we can call on professionals, but it's very hard to get a lot of doctors to follow this. But I'm sure there's many out there that agree with this. And it's well researched, and this is what we've got to look at. And our people can do it. People have been managing for years and years. And as I said, I'm heartened to find that all these university graduates, that's heartening. And we've got to let our people know they can survive. What a lot of our young people do also, they hear about all we're disadvantaged. White people won't let us get ahead. And that we've got to tell them it's up to them to get ahead. and people are going to pull you down for sure. In any office where there's a group of people, there's always a bit of a struggle. People will pull you down, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So people have got to accept that and get ahead, and don't let that be an excuse or stop you.
This vitamin B6 you talk of, is it accessible through a multi-B vitamin formula?
Yes, it's an B6. The standard vitamin B, a multi one, won't help. You've got to have extra, perhaps even 2 to 3 times as much B6.
Yeah.
And a good quality B6. There's many B6s, but there's a big range of qualities in them, so you've got to be a bit careful. I won't say any names over the radio, but there is a difference in them.
Fair enough.
And once you're a naturopath, or I've studied it a bit, doesn't make me an expert, of course, but getting high quality ones and the right dose for that person.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Jeff, there's obviously people listening to this program. They've got, young boys, and I believe it is only boys because you can't accommodate the girls.
No, we do have a limited now to girls. Now, something needs to be done with the girls.
Yeah.
There needs to be a program. Now, one thing I'm having conversation when I talk to governments, occasionally the two groups need to meet for sports and dancing. I believe it's totally wrong for boys to grow up a big chunk of their life without meeting girls and associating with them. Most people get the wrong idea, but it's important, I believe, that it's normal for two to mix together.
Yeah.
I'm not saying we're having the same residential, but I can't see why they couldn't have some sports or things like dances together.
Look, there'll be people that are listening to this program that would like to get some of their children, one or a couple, on the program. Two questions here. The first one is, are we okay to pass on your number to anybody that wants
to? You're right. I can give advice, but I'm not personally doing it myself now because I've sort of gone broke. When I was selling heaps of horses and a bit of mining, I could do it, but there's plenty of communities that could do it themselves, and we wish to encourage that.
Yeah.
Michael Yam, Mayor of Konyama, one of our old students, is anxious to get a place going at Konyama.
Yeah.
And people at Weeper want to do the same. And instead of having one great big place, perhaps 2 or 3 smaller places, the important if they do start a dormitory, it's got house parents, only about 10 or 12 in it.
Yeah.
And they all sit down the same table and it become like a family. Now, some for sure, these little criminals have got to be punished. Being away from home is punishment.
Mm.
And finding what their problems were so it's not repeated, and then follow up when they do get home. One of my problems is here, I couldn't have the follow up which needed. We need to follow these youngsters and families, and we need to support the families a bit. I'm all for having a debate about dysfunctional families, the kids doing a lot of damage where they must do a program. There needs to be debated by a group of people, welfare, criminologists, to see if there's any pitfalls to that. That when one person makes a statement, you've got to be careful that I believe a lot of communities could start their own places using our guidelines. I believe they need to learn to use feedback and have a bit of knowledge about food and the vitamin minerals, and we'd be happy to go and help these people help run it themselves.
So you could actually travel to Kawanyama and help Michael and the team there set this up.
We've got families all over at Weeper, and some of the youngsters have been here. It could be the trainers and be the house parents and runners. And I don't... there could be a place like a remote place where Bar Yard, where someone's got no traditional... But there's a lot of opportunities... I read some people trying to make a profit out of these kids. It's all right working on a cattle, having a cattle place working, but you can't make a profit from because of the emphasis on helping the youngsters.
Yeah, yeah. Jeff Guest, it's been an absolute pleasure to catch up with you again. Hopefully I can run into you personally around May. I'm tracking down the White Burdekin Plum, actually, what I'm in transit doing around May. I'm hoping they're going to be...
Isn't that more around Bowen?
There's one up there at Tyrconnell Mine, actually.
Is there?
There is, yeah. It's a long story, actually, but I picked one up, and I wasn't sure if it was Burdekin plum or not because it had a white flesh, and it was very, very sweet. So it's been a long journey since I picked that one innocent little plum up.
You need to do more research on that, and I've got some plants I'm researching too.
Yeah. So
thanks for the time, and anyone wants to contact us, they can.
Yeah.
But as I'm not taking youngsters, for a while I was taking older people.
Yeah.
But my finances were run out getting away from drug and alcohol problems.
Yeah.
Sometimes someone turns up. A couple of days ago, I broke walk for 40 kilometres here. I couldn't say go. So we're still helping people, but we're not. But I believe a lot of places can help themselves, and they've got the people to do it and some of the resources.
If somebody's listening and they've got a bit of spare money put away and they decide that they'd like to invest it in the future, let's say, leave something behind.
We've got tax status now, so people get a refund on their tax.
Yeah.
It's only just gone through the last couple of days.
Yeah.
So that could be a big help. And as I said, often I have to drive kilometres. If there's trouble in town, often just hop in and drive. A lot of organisations, if somebody's drunk or got a weapon, if they won't go. Usually what I do, as soon as I mention a weapon, I get them disarmed, and I don't drive straight there. I phone them just before I get there to see if it's all right. We've had a lot of luck at helping people like that. If the police go, they have to, safety police have to, bring a special squad in. Now, if I thought the person wasn't controlled, then you'd have to call the police. But lots of times that person can be calmed down. We might speak to them an hour on the phone and then go and see them. This is the sort of thing people need to do. There's some danger to that, of course, with the person could go off again, but usually you can tell once they've talked to them for an hour, they've calmed down.
Yeah, and it's a great...
Well, thanks for the opportunity to talk.
Yeah, look, and look, if somebody is getting towards the end of their years and they've got they've got something money-wise that they could bequeath to what you've learned in your lifetime to keep the program going, we'd certainly pass their number on to them.
I want to trial a program of helping these families where some local ladies go and help prepare food.
Yeah.
Some families might, a workshop might do, other families might need once a week in there, other families might two or three times a week. But we need to develop a program for each family.
No worries, Jeff. Hopefully I'll catch up to you around May.
Anyone wants to call in here, they're welcome anytime.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks for the time.
No worries, Jeff Guest talking to us there from Petford, and amazing man. I do believe his name comes with Jeff Guest OAM. I didn't discuss that part with him, actually.